So we're a Scottish registered NGO, yeah, and we work in North Lebanon with mostly with Syrian and Palestinian kids. And if anyone knows anything about the situation in Lebanon, there's a lot of refugees there. About something like a quarter of the population are refugees from Syria and Palestine. So yeah, we work with refugee kids, and our mission is to use arts and creativity to help educate these kids and give them access to like free expression and give them a lot of activities to do. So yeah, so like one of the projects that you just heard, the opening track, we have a mobile music studio, and we've been running this for about 2 years now. We go around the camps. We work with young artists. They write their own songs on whatever subject they like, and yeah, and we work with local producers, and we make some really cool tracks. And we have tracks on Bandcamp. I think maybe we can share the link at some point.
Yeah, we're going to do that in the end,
Yeah, so
definitely.
yeah.
So I'm interested especially in the beginning of Mishwe, because for me it sounds incredibly difficult to establish an organization in one of the most, let's say, difficult circumstances a country can see in those refugee camps. 2 years ago, how did you manage to find support for founding this organization, and where were like problems on that way also?
Yeah, so actually, we're almost 3 years in January. We started doing projects. I first visited Lebanon because I knew the situation was pretty dire. You know, there was a lot of refugee movements going on, so I thought I would visit the country and see what was going on. And I met Basil around that time, and we both volunteered in another organization. And then after finishing my time there, we started our own thing, which was Mishwats, about 2.5 years ago. And yeah, it was difficult then. It's still difficult to get proper support. You know, we just we work with a lot of volunteers. You know, I don't get paid. Basil's never get paid. So yeah, we work really hard on a very small budget. Yeah, and we have a team now of about 8 people, and we have different sources of funding. One of our really good funders are German. They're FNF, Friedrich Naumann Stiftung. They support some of our projects. And apart from that, yeah, we get donations from just random individuals online.
Which also means that like the resources you can work with change like regularly. So how do we have to imagine your regular work in the camps?
So we have a constant presence in the camps. We're there all the time. Every week we run, like, every week we have cinema nights in the camps. It's very important to us that we're there all the time, that we're not just, I mean, a lot of NGOs come and go, but we really do have a very strong like community presence. We know all the families, we know where they come from, we know their stories, we know what's happening, we know the kids very well. So yes, we're constantly there, and we run activities regular as we can with the kids. And yeah, from time to time we get support for different projects. Like I was saying, with FNF, they support certain projects. There's a Dutch NGO called Hivos. They're supporting our music studio now. But apart from that, we just run, you know, each of our volunteers, we go out and do our own fundraisers. Like, we have a photography project now by someone from Italy and England, and they raised their own money and have come over and done it themselves, paid for it themselves, which is great. But yeah, apart from that, we just, you know, we have to do, like, I'm in Germany now, we're going to do some events to try and get some support. So yeah, it's kind of, we live month to month, you know, but, you know, we're doing it.
What you're doing is especially creating, let's say, yeah, normal atmosphere for children in the camps, especially children, but also young people, youth people. How do the children or the families you work with in the camps response to your offers and to the many projects you do?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, that's something that we do. We do try to bring a bit of normality to people's lives, because effectively people are I mean, the political situation, the situation for refugees, they don't have freedom of movement. So a lot of people spend 99% of their lives stuck in camps. They feel like they're in prison, you know? So we have to work with people inside the camps, and yeah, we just try to bring a bit of normality. We try to bring people together. You know, we do regular parties, you know, where we bring all the families together, just, you know, and we do the cinema every week. And it really, it's just, yeah, it's just bringing some normality to the community. We try to help the communities get along better, you know, because there's a lot of tension. There's a lot of, you know, you can imagine a lot of people living in close confines.
And you already mentioned it. Most families living there, or all families and children living there, are dealing with existential problems every day in terms of surviving, in terms of caring for their relatives and seeing where all the people are they are attached to and they hold dear. How do I have to imagine when you work with the children that your projects work? Like, if you do a musical project in Germany, people just come there, do their songs, go back home and have their normal life. But how are you affected by those existential problems within your work in the camps?
Well, I mean, those problems are definitely there, and as Tony said earlier, normalizing the life of the kids over there. We deal with children, with kids that have PTSD and post-traumatic disorder, and some of the volunteers who come to Mishwa, volunteer for Mishwa, they do some psychosocial support and even all the musical and sport projects that we do, they all go to the benefits of the well-being of the kids. And I want to say that this normalizing the life of the kids, especially the kids in the camps, was basically the first idea that we had, me and Tony. That's what Mishwar is all about. Mishwar means trip or a journey. So we decided to take the kids and their families in the camps to a one-day trip by the river, just have fun, allow them to play, because a lot of those kids have never been to any place other than the camp itself. So it was a nice opportunity for them to just to be children. Yeah, and then the idea just developed, and Tony decided, yeah, to make it official with an NGO.
And I think, like, to try and explain to people what it's like to be a refugee in these situations, obviously everyone's fleeing war, so there's all the trauma involved with that. But then when people arrive in Lebanon, there's all this added burden of the fact that, like I said, people don't have freedom of movement, so they're trapped in one place. So that adds another level of stress. Like, the number one issue, as far as I can tell, as far as I know, is psychological, mental health issues. From obviously the trauma from the war, but then unemployment, for example, lack of education. The majority of kids are not in school, and a lot of the kids that go to school, they get a really low quality education. So there's the whole environment itself is very stressful. So we're trying to address not necessarily the problems of trauma from the war, but the ongoing situation within Lebanon. And it gets worse as every year goes by. I think earlier on in the war, people probably thought, as usually the case with refugees, they think the war will finish soon, they get to go back, but it's dragged on and on and on. Now we're in seventh year, people are just waiting for help from outside. I know a lot of people come to Europe, but the routes to Europe have stopped, or they've decreased a lot. It's very difficult for most people to go back. So it's just this intense kind of pressure cooker situation within Lebanon. There's also pressure from the Lebanese state to get people to leave, So it's a very intense psychological situation,
And especially in such a small country as Lebanon, where the population is 3 million, adding to it 1 million refugees, so it adds a lot to the already existing problems in the country.
Yeah, it's an extreme situation for everyone involved. Also, we're talking about the organization Mishwa, which has been founded nearly 3 years ago to support especially children and families in northern Lebanon and refugee camps. The organization has got a lot of attention internationally by the founders you already mentioned, and also there has been a film or a documentary published recently that documents your work there. Maybe you can tell us shortly what the documentary is about and what we can see there.
Yeah, so the end of 2017, we had a filmmaker from France. I actually met him when he was wandering around Lebanon looking for a film to make. And we met, and he decided that he should make a film about the work that we do. So he spent a month with us. And it's a snapshot into our work, into the characters that we work with, and the situation in general. And another thing I should mention that we haven't mentioned before is, I've told you what we do, but the way we do it as well. Obviously, I'm a foreigner. I'm not from Lebanon. But we try to work as much as possible with locals, with refugees, with Lebanese. So, a lot of our main workers are actually Palestinians. So the film shows a kind of inside look into the organization and the daily struggles that we have. But it's also, I think, you know, the films, I was a bit nervous before the film was made because I thought it's a bit personal and maybe a bit embarrassing, but it's actually really funny. There's a lot of funny stuff in it. There's sad stuff, there's happy stuff. But yeah, I think the guy's done a really good job. And I think anyone that doesn't know much about the situation, if you watch the film, you'll understand more what it's like to be a child or be a refugee in Lebanon. So we're showing the film, I think, on Wednesday and Thursday.
Wednesday at the MLU, Martin Luther Universität, at 12 o'clock, and at the Burg Wittgenstein at 16 o'clock.
Yeah, that's going to be on Thursday. And on Wednesday, I don't know if that's on Thursday too, but on Wednesday I know when the screening's going to take place at 12 o'clock at the room. I'm going to tell you later.
Horsale 5.
Yeah, it's Horsale 5 at the Martin Luther University. There's also going to be a Skype call into one of the camps the documentary and your organization works with. What can people expect from that Skype call?
Yeah, okay. So, and this idea goes through, I think, most of the things that we do. We try to give a voice to the people in the camps, because the whole humanitarian industry in general is usually foreigners going in and doing work and then foreigners sitting around talking about it. But we try to give a voice. This is why we do the music, so people can actually talk to the outside world. So after the film, I think rather than people asking us questions, we're going to set up a Skype call. We have colleagues that are in the camps, and we're just going to facilitate a conversation between us here in Germany and the refugees that we work with in the camps, so people can ask a lot of direct questions. What's it like? What was your hope for the future? I mean, I've got no idea what people will ask, but I think it'll be interesting for locals to really have a connection there. So. And I think we're going to do it on Wednesday and Thursday. And, you know, in general, I think this is something we'd like to do more and more, just to open up, I think there's a lot of prejudice, there's a lot of fear around refugee communities, even within Lebanon, you know. Who are these people? They're, you know, they get accused of being religious fanatics and this, that, and other thing. But when you talk to them, because we were very close with them, you know, I've got a lot of friends that just happen to be refugees. They're just normal people that just want same stuff as what we all want, you know. So yeah, so I hope it'll be a enlightening conversation for everyone.